point, take the 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 point. All right, folks, we're here for the week three Take the Points podcast. Tom Zeleznok talking via Skype with Daniel Partridge. Dan, it's just the two of us today, like Will Smith and his son.
Oh, Independence Day 8 is going to be the best.
It is. Dan, we are in the Willennium now. I don't know if you know that.
It's Willennium. Official. I like that. Thank you.
We have a lot of games to get to. It was kind of a bad week, too, so we're going to sort of forego the recap of week two that we usually do. We have a couple things to talk about quickly, but for the most part, we'll skip that. And we're going to get right into the lines because this is, in my opinion, I'll make a bold statement. I think this is the best week of college football ever.
Wow.
Just the matchups. I mean, I know that there's a lot to play and that the playoff or the championship isn't determined this week, but I've never seen so many good games. I mean, I think there are probably 18 or 20 really good games this weekend.
Absolutely loaded slate. I'm excited too. Gonna wake up early Saturday and get after it.
So last week was nonsense heavy on our podcast. This week will be football heavy. I want to start with a little opening salvo, which is praise for you, Dan. First off, you won a couple of our bets that we made. So we bet on Notre Dame, Texas earlier in the year. You won that. You seem to win every bet that we make against each other. You also won a bet that we made last week on the podcast about fantasy football. We were playing each other week one. One of the reasons I hate fantasy football is because I think I was the fourth highest score in our league. But of course, the person I was playing, you, was the third highest score. So even though I beat like nine of the people in our league, I still lose.
That's how it works.
That's how it goes. But anyway, we bet that the winner would get to name the loser's team for 1 week. So I think we're going to tease people with that. But you are going to name my fantasy football team. And I believe you have the name ready to announce on this podcast.
Yes, I do, Tom. Well, you know,
I think we should save it, Dan. I don't want to give it away.
All right. Well,
but maybe you could tease it, you know, give the people a little taste of the direction you went in.
I think you just gave him a hit right there when you say that you gave him a taste in the right direction.
I don't know what that means, but I'm just as curious as everyone to find out. So we'll save that for later in the show. That's not the praise I wanted to heap on you, though, Dan. We've been doing this show for 4 years. I can never even remember, even though it's my show and yours. I can't remember how long it's been going on. I have serious baby brain. This is the most tired today that I've ever been since having the baby, since like the first couple nights in the hospital. I'm not going to lie. Remember the like head bob move you would do in high school when like Mr. Frischello was giving a lecture and your head would start to like snap back in your seat?
Yes.
I did a little bit of that at work today. I may have fallen asleep for like 2 to 3 minutes.
Good work.
It was no good.
No one's going to yell at you because it's not like you are sleepy because you're out, you know, playing blackjack all night at Foxwoods. Like, everyone knows you had a baby. You're allowed small cat naps. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I was out playing blackjack all night, but I had the baby with me. She's got to learn. Got to learn young.
Well, there's so many comments I'd like to make. But yes, I would just agree with you and say, yes, that baby needs to learn early.
You know, if the baby's not up to snuff with reading comprehension by the third grade, they say they fall way behind. I believe it's the same with gambling, Dan.
I 100% agree.
If you don't have them up to speed by 8 years old, you're really screwed. You're punishing them for life.
That's absolutely true. Quick personal story. My uncle, when I was a child, used to give me $20 every Christmas. He would then play blackjack against me where he was the house and I was the player until he wiped me out and took the 20 back. Then he wished me a Merry Christmas and continued being an asshole like he always is.
So at the end of the day, your Christmas present was $0 and a life lesson.
Yeah, but that life lesson I think has paid off. So it's possible he's the smartest guy ever, but I still think he's just a giant asshole.
knowing your gambling skill, which is actually what I'm trying to get into now, maybe he was the driving force behind your life. Maybe perhaps the most important role model in your life.
He has helped with motivation, I'll tell you that much.
So that's what I want to compliment you on. I'll finally try to get to this. We've been doing the show for 4 years. I record it here on my MacBook Pro from like 2009. We do it over Skype. We are not a high-tech production. I've noticed, you know, there used to be no college football podcasts when we started this. There was like one or two other ones. There still aren't very many. There's like maybe 10 or 12. I've noticed there's a few that have really good production value, and just podcasts in general, I think, are getting much better production value. Meanwhile, we have improved not 1%.
Zero.
We still do the most bare bones podcast. I mean, I think we're getting a little bit better at like talking about the lines and predicting, but in terms of the production value, it has not changed one iota since we started. We are drastically falling behind other podcasts in terms of production. But I've been listening, and there is one thing, Dan, that we have that these other shows don't have, and that is Vegas outsider Dan Partridge.
Vegas outsider, I like that.
So I listen to these shows, and they're well-produced, but a lot of them are by, you know, the main sports networks and the usual suspects. And the one thing I've noticed about them and about ESPN shows, TV shows, radio shows, they seem to go over the same talking points. They seem to have turned football into like a soap opera, basically. They all talk about the same talking points. We lament this almost every week, but I believe, Dan, in you, and I don't think you get any credit for this, you bring a very unique perspective to this show, and your knowledge, I really do think, about college football and especially about gambling is as good as anybody on any podcast or any ESPN show. I really do mean that.
Wow, Tom, thank you so much. That's incredibly nice. This was not expected. Thanks, Hats. I really appreciate that. I feel like I won an award, and I don't know what to say.
Well, I want to be clear. I'm not sure whether this is a great compliment, like when you graduated with honors from high school, or if it's one of those compliments like when you beat Mario 3 in 7 minutes that really doesn't help life at all but sounds cool.
That's not true. That's helped me also. But no, Tom, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. And you know your shit, too. There's not a lot of people I know, you know. I mean, me and you have been watching college football together since the 80s. The fucking 80s. Like, people don't get it. Like 89, I was at Tom's house, and we're wearing Penn State sweatshirts watching their god-awful team play.
Oh, god-awful, Dan. We were watching Penn State QB Kevin Thompson throw a bomb to beat the bad boy Miami Hurricanes.
That's right. And, like, you know, some like, really, you know, old-school stuff. And, you know, you also know your shit pretty damn well, man. I mean, you really look at the numbers and you do your research, and hats off to you too. But thanks, man. It means a lot. Appreciate it.
No problem. And one of the reasons I say that this week as opposed to every other week is because I was looking at the games and the lines and the storylines and just the teams that are matched up this week. And I really think this is like your week. All of these teams playing, the games, the lines, I think this is all the things you always talk about and you love about college football have all like come to a head in this week. So I'm going to lean on you for this episode. Also, I'm super tired. So this is your episode, Dan P.
I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I actually got a lot of sleep last night for me. So I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, week two, as I said, we don't really need to recap, but I know that you want to talk about the Texas Tech Arizona State game, which you were supposed to attend.
Yeah, unforeseen circumstances, new job, some weird stuff went down, had to stay late. Don't worry, I'll be to some games this year, but got home in time to start watching that game a few minutes into it. 37-30 at half with an over-under of 79.5. At one point, the live total was 125.5 if you wanted to bet the over. I mean, every year there's two or three overs that are just absurdly low, and people can't comprehend how it really should be like 105, but it's true. Last year, it was the same Texas Tech team playing it in Dallas at the Jerry Dome against Baylor. And we were like, come on, this is going to be 100-and-something points. They're like, no, 75. It's stupid. So pay attention to this stuff. Beginning of every year, they always mess up a couple totals, and you can really just easily walk into that. That was so fun to watch that game and just bet the over. Just laugh all the way. And I want to say one other quick thing as well about totals. Watch line movement throughout the week. Last week, Syracuse against Louisville. Line over-under opened at 59.5, closed at 69. That'll tell you all you need to know. I bet the over in the first quarter, and that came in about a minute and a half. So there you go. But yeah, Arizona State, Texas Tech was crazy. I think there's two more spots. I looked at the schedule next couple of weeks where there should be games over 100 points scored. So we will point them out to you in a segment called the 100 point special from now on. Here we go.
Much like in the way some of the media and you see with some politicians, they haven't sort of caught up to 2016. Like you still see, I was noticing with the presidential candidates, they still like tell these lies that go against things that we have on videotape. And it's like they don't realize we're in 2016 and that you can look up anything instantly. And I feel the same way. I don't try to get political. I bring that up because it's the perfect analogy for the overs. Like, we're in an age in 2016 where teams can put up, you know, Notre Dame and Texas can score 97 points combined. And that doesn't even get close to teams like Texas Tech and Arizona State. And yet you won't see a line. I think the biggest line this week is 80.5. So,
yep.
And I get why Vegas does it, because if they put out a line that's like 92, I think it scares people. But there are a couple games that should be lines of like 95 points.
Yeah, you know, and that's where people, you know, make that misconception. Vegas is making a line to get equal action on both sides, and they know that they are going to put it at, you know, 80. But them personally, I bet you those guys who make the lines know that it should actually be 95, and they all hammered it at some other casino that they don't work at and made a lot of money.
Sure, and I know we talk about this all the time, what Vegas's lines are supposed to be, but if the public were more adept at picking up on these things, yeah, then the lines would be set higher.
They should be. I mean, you know, on Fridays and Saturday mornings, I'll look at some various, you know, message boards with sports betting, and people on that Texas Tech Arizona State, everyone I read online was on the under. And I just was sitting there shaking my head going, all right, whatever, we'll see. And laughable.
All right, so two quick things I want to talk about from week two, and then we'll move along quickly to week three. Congrats to Arkansas beating TCU. That was a great game. I personally would like to apologize for fucking over TCU. They were about to kick that field goal to win the game, and I sent you a text that said, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was a stat that I had seen.
Yep.
There hasn't been, I think in 12 years, there hasn't been a single week of college football where not one ranked team lost. And there weren't many matchups last week, so I thought this was going to be the week, and TCU's about to kick this, you know, medium-length field goal to win the game, and I send you the text, man, no ranked teams have lost, or there hasn't been a week in which no ranked teams lost since 2004, but I think it's going to happen this week, and what happens? Blocked field goal,
yep.
Arkansas wins in double OT. Frog fans, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I blew it.
You 100% jinxed them. It's just the way it is. But, moving on.
The other thing, Tennessee beats Virginia Tech at Bristol Motor Speedway. Don't care about the game. Frankly, I wasn't that impressed by the size of it.
Me neither.
When they packed those seats in, it just looked like any other game at Tennessee or the Big House. Maybe TV just didn't illustrate how crazy it was. But what I want to know is, I saw a million reports about the beer purchases. 545,000 beers were purchased for that game. Dan, I have not seen one follow-up article about how many were actually drank. Did they drink all the beers? Were there leftover beers? Did they need to get more? Did they have to have like one of those keg buses bust in mid-game? The media has failed in 2016. I need to know how many beers were drank at that game.
That's really unbelievable. You know, I work in the restaurant business and, you know, do ordering and all that fun stuff. And to it must have been insane for the person to order the alcohol for that event to go, hey, how much alcohol do you think we need for this thing? And you're like, you got a piece of paper out and a calculator going, oh my God, I need 500,000 beers here. Where's Budweiser at? So I'm guessing half of them got drank, a couple got spilled, some got thrown, some got shotgunned, some got...
I'm just talking about purchases. Obviously, you can't measure how many beers were, you know, frummeled or shotgunned. But
I'm just kidding, well,
I want to know, just were they all purchased?
There were 9 frummels on record. I saw that on CNN.
Oh, breaking news.
I have no way to calculate that, but that shit's wild, man. Wow.
Yeah, and for those who haven't heard the story, that is what the stadium bought. So that doesn't include all the Bud Diesels and all the Jack Daniels that got drank in the parking lot. That, by the way, 545,000 beers is roughly 5.45 beers per legal age adult that attended the game. Because a lot of the crowd was
kids. I know, that's a high number. That's like, of people who are actually there to drink, that's like 9.5 each. Because there's people there.
Yeah, because there are people who, you know, people with their kids who aren't going to drink much. There's probably a few straight edge people, not very many, but maybe like 7.
Half the crowd like isn't drinking, or like a third. So like 100,000 put down that 550. So like at least on average 5.5 each. And there's some, you know, people
in
the
game,
money, who only had 2, or people who were fucked up when they walked in and had 1 and held it the whole time. You know, I mean, or...
And how many people drank, you know, shots of Jack Daniels or Jim Beam out in the parking lot and were already trashed when they came in and then still drank their 5 or 6 beers?
Absolutely. And if everyone's averaging 6 beers a pop, that means that there's thousands of people who had like 15 each. Like,
yes.
Which is a crazy number when you think about it.
It's something else. Congrats to the people of Western Virginia.
Unbelievable.
And Tennessee for pulling that together. My hat goes off to both of you. I want to visit both of your states and areas.
545,000 beers. That's so sick.
They really are the MVPs of week 2.
That's incredible. That's the best stat of all time on Take the Points.
All right. Florida State -3.5 at Louisville. This is a noon kickoff game for such an important game. Kind of weird. By the way, I know there's a game on Thursday. We're going to do that one at the end. We want to start off with this big game Saturday, early afternoon. What do you got, Danny?
Okay. When taking an underdog, you got to ask yourself a couple questions. 1, can they win the game outright? 2, where's the game being played? 3, what's their motivation? And 4, what's their quarterback like? Louisville, yes, they can win outright. The game's at home. Their motivation is through the roof. They win this, they're going to play in the BCS playoff. 4, how's their quarterback? I don't know. He's got like 39 touchdowns in 2 games or something like that. Florida State, yes, they look good against Ole Miss, especially in that second half. They look great. But that's kind of what Ole Miss does. They've been known to choke games away. So I'm not going to give Florida State 100% credit for what they did last, 2 weeks ago. I'm not counting their College of Charleston victory.
They had a tough win over the Electoral College last week.
Yeah, missing 40 players. So I think Florida State's a little bit overvalued. I mean, I still think they're an unbelievable top 5 team, don't get me wrong. But Ole Miss is known to look like that. So all those added up, I'm going to take Louisville in the points because I'm not laying points on the road against that team this year.
Do I hear a sense of a possible money line pick?
You know, normally, yes, but I think I'm going to take the points. If I can get, you know what? If I can get 3 or 3.5, I'll take the points. If it's 2.5 or lower, I'll do money line.
So I picked Florida State to win the national championship in our first podcast, so I feel like I'm obligated to roll with them in this game. Certainly, it scares me. Of all the big games where there's a potential upset, Lamar Jackson just looks incredible. But I will say, in fairness, it was against Charlotte, who is probably the worst team in all college football. No exaggeration, they probably are the worst team. And then Syracuse, who, you know, I'm not... Yeah, Dan's giving the thumbs down. Syracuse looked very good against Colgate. I'm not ready to say they're a powerhouse. I don't know how impressive that Louisville win is exactly. I know that Florida State is loaded. I know they have some injuries on the defense that are going to hurt them in this game. I still think Florida State ekes it out. But if I had to choose, I think I'm taking the points as well, and I'm predicting like a 2 to 3 point win. This is going to be a real tough one for Florida State, and I hope they come ready, and I hope DeAndre Francois, America's favorite fighting Frenchman, I hope he comes ready to play.
We'll find out.
All right. We're going to do three games here at once, the hometown teams, as we call them, Dan. It's been an interesting run for our hometown teams.
Unbelievable.
Temple at Penn State. Penn State, a 9-point favorite. Temple is not what they were last year when they beat Penn State. And this game's also in Happy Valley. So I don't expect another upset. I don't know if I'd lay 9 points with Penn State. I do kind of like the over of 51.5. Penn State can actually score some points this year. They're not as destitute on offense as they were the last couple years. So if I'm picking a line, I'm picking that. But Penn State's really on the, like, exile list of gambling in general. The Michigan State Memorial do not bet list.
That is correct. Your options are Temple or the over-under. Therefore, I'll just agree with you on the over, but I really don't have a feel for this game. Penn State's unbettable permanently.
So let's move along then. Virginia, who lost to Oregon, as predicted on this podcast. Oregon came out early, got that first half line. It made me feel real good. Of course, I got greedy, and I bet the whole game line as well, and then I lost that one. So we broke even. UConn, meanwhile, they had a very interesting game. Do you want to explain this for the people, or shall I?
Go right ahead.
So UConn, not known for its wise choices or excellent football play, was down to, I believe it was the 1 or 2 yard line. It was a goal line stand. They had run out of bounds on the previous play, stopping the clock, but they couldn't really get their offense, get their act together, and they were forced to use a timeout, their last timeout. So they burn a timeout after an out of bounds play. Then, with I think 18 seconds left, maybe, they run the ball up the middle and just get stuffed by Navy. And Navy, of course, does what every team does, where they just sort of sit on the ball carrier where he can't get up. And UConn's not able to regroup. They can't get back to the line. Time runs out. UConn loses by 4 points. Now, they could have thrown the ball. They could have thrown a couple times. They could have done something besides run up the middle.
No.
At least they could have been prepared to run a second play. But, you know, not only did Navy sit on the ball, but UConn was real lackadaisical trying to get up to the line. I don't really have a comment. I just want to say that was classic UConn. And that's why, if you're a UConn fan, I see no reason to be hopeful until, I guess, another regime change, which, believe me, Dan, I live down the street from the stadium. It gives me no pleasure to come on here every week and say, like, UConn sucks. UConn needs to fire their coach. I don't like doing it. I feel like it's my moral obligation.
You have to. I mean, come on, man. It's a basketball school. It's always going to be a basketball school. New England's not a football, you know, area. They should be happy, you know, winning 7 games and playing some random place in Florida on December 27th every year. That should be their goal. And have fun with it. You know, somehow they made a Fiesta Bowl. Those dreams are over. Don't try to get into a major conference. Just have fun with it. Just have fun. That's it. Like, give up.
We've been through this before. The Fiesta Bowl of 09 never happened. It was a mass hallucination by the public.
That's possible. 09 was rough.
Anyway, in this game, over-under is an NFL low 48.5. I would urge people to lean the under if you want to bet on this. UConn does have a defense, and Virginia's no good, so I think you'll be surprised to see that game as like 20-16.
That all makes sense. The only thing you got to worry about is stupid turnovers. That always seems to be the case in these games. But, I'll agree with you on that.
All right, South Florida at the Cuse, 14.5-point line, over-under 73.5. I don't have an opinion, but I've seen a lot of experts sort of argue that South Florida, I think, has scored 106 points or something like that through two games. Syracuse has the new Dino Babers offense. A lot of people think the over is the play here.
It could be, but I would not bet the over because last week against Louisville it was 69.5, so it just feels like you missed out on value last week and now you're getting a fair line, and I just hate, you know, wagering an over in that spot, but I'll probably stay away from this one altogether.
As I said before, I'm not really sure of Syracuse this year. I don't think we have the sample size to really know how good they are. People get a little, people in Syracuse, the 17 fans that do go to the games, they get a little too excited when Syracuse has a win, and it was Colgate. And Louisville just looks great, so I wouldn't hold that against them too much. We'll see. Stay away, I say. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say about TCU? They take on Iowa State, bounce back.
Iowa State's unbelievably bad. I was right last week about Iowa dismantling them, and they did. Iowa State is one of the worst five teams in the country this year.
One more sort of non-huge game, and then it's just a murderer's row of big games. So
good.
San Diego State -11 at Northern Illinois, over under 50. San Diego State, I want to give them credit. That's why I put them on this list in such a big week. I think they're quietly maybe the third best non-Power 5 team in the country. I don't know if I'd lay the 11, but they can score too. I kind of like the over here.
Yeah, and they were really great last year, especially from the midseason on. Their defense was excellent. Their running game was always super strong. Last week, I think they hung 35 at half on Cal. Keep in mind, Cal has a horrible, horrible, horrible defense, and they got Davis Webb, I believe, at QB. So we'll talk about them in the next couple of weeks.
I think watch San Diego State later in the year because I think there might be some value there, especially if they're the underdog in a game against, say, Boise or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I think people don't really know about them, and they're a pretty good team. So anyway, I mentioned this is really your week, Dan, and here's one of the first ones that made me think about that. Colorado at Michigan. Michigan, a 20.5-point favorite, over under 57.5. The reason I thought of you, Colorado is going to wear uniforms that make a reference to the famous Cordell Stewart Hail Mary game of 1994.
Yep. That's the game that caused Penn State the national championship.
Not to mention Cordell Stewart went on to a very fine career with your Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was a great career. Now, moving on.
Cordell Stewart was an excellent passer, Dan. He had all of those great games where he was 33 of 35 for 97 yards and two interceptions returned for touchdowns.
He was the ultimate checkdown. At first, he used to throw it all over the place. Then he started throwing picks, and they simplified the offense. And at the end, it was unbearable. 23 of 31 for 106. You're like, what? How is that possible?
He would have like 30 completions to his own team and like three completions to the defense. And somehow the defense would get more yards on the interception return than his offense gained on his 30 completions.
It was unbelievable. But moving on to this game, I really like Colorado in this game. I think Michigan's overvalued because they played absolutely nobody. And Colorado's defense is the real deal, and their offense looks really good this year. I actually watched them in the Colorado State game, and I actually read some stuff on that game because there was nothing on and I wanted to bet it, of course, being a degenerate. And, you know, a lot of Colorado fans seem to really love this team and especially their team defense. And, you know, they're playing Michigan, who's obviously been putting up a lot of points. And you see that total is only 57. So if you have a chance to grab three touchdowns in a game where the total is only 57, I think you got to do it. So, look for Michigan to win, but I don't think this can be easy. I like Colorado a lot. Watch out for them.
I'm with you 100%. I have a confession. So the first week, I bet on Colorado State. I think I got about 8 points against Colorado. I didn't research either of the teams prior to the year because, you know, I have a life. And I figured it's a rivalry game. I'm just going to take the points. You get more than a touchdown. I should be okay. Good chance of winning that. Colorado looked really impressive, and I was not prepared for that. I mean, they've been a junk team the last, 5 years minimum,
yep.
10 years? for a long time, they've been very bad, and they've got some life. I mean, they are good. Legitimately a solid team, could be a spoiler. I think they're going to beat some people in the Pac-12. I don't think they win, but I think they're going to give Michigan a run. Michigan also has the a little bit of a trap game, or a look-ahead game, rather, because they take on the mighty Penn State Nittany Lions next week.
Uh-oh.
Does Penn State qualify as a look-ahead team?
No, never.
It's still a big game. I mean, you're playing in front of 100,000 fans.
It is. It's a good point. I mean, you know, as much as we do rag them, you know, it's a big deal to play a game in that stadium, for sure.
All right, then let's move along. Oregon at Nebraska. Nebraska -3. When I saw this game originally, I thought that Nebraska was a little overrated this season and that Oregon should come in there and should be able to beat them. But over the last 2 weeks, I've been sort of changing my opinion on both teams, and now I think I'll stay away. I think that line probably is right on, and either team I think could win, but I think neither team is going to get a blowout in this game. I think you're looking at a 3-6 point win.
It's going to be really close. Hard to call, but I really just am not a fan of Mark Helfrich. So until proven otherwise, I'm going to take Nebraska as well.
Do you like Nebraska? Have you seen them at all?
Honestly, no. I've not watched them, but I'm just going based on Oregon coaching, basically. I just don't trust it at this point.
There are a couple teams, I mentioned it with Syracuse, but there are a couple bigger top 25 teams that I'm not sure if they're sort of holding back on us in the first two games, you know, not using the whole playbook. I would say Oregon is one of them. They've won their two games pretty easily, but they've also sort of laid up in the second half especially. So I don't know if they're hiding something more that they're going to break out in this game, or if that what we've seen in the first 2 weeks really is all they've got. So I'm staying away, and I'll be keeping an eye on this for future gambling reference.
There you go.
All right, another big Dan P game. Pitt, the town where you grew up for 2 years before briefly stopping in Syracuse for like 20 years.
Yes.
Your hometown of Pitt.
Hometown.
They visit Oklahoma State, who was screwed last week, I would say. Although, when you see that play by Central Michigan, that Hail Mary to win the game, I almost feel like, despite the bad call, you just have to give it up to Central Michigan.
Yeah, I know. That was unbelievable. Can't be mad at that. I mean, if you're going to lose to a shitty call, you know, there it is. But, I mean, seriously, like, if it's that wrong of a call and the clock was really zero, they should be able to say, we were wrong, here's the final score, win is for Oklahoma State. But that's how sports work. They're stupid sometimes.
Agreed. Central Michigan, by the way, I think most people know this by now, but they are the same team that had that unbelievable Bahamas Bowl Hail Mary, which was definitely the top five things I've ever seen, like the top five endings to any game I've ever seen in my life.
Antonio Brown, you.
That's right. So whoever is like Hail Mary coordinator for Central Michigan, they should be working for like the Dallas Cowboys. They, not even Alabama. They should go straight to the top of the pros.
You're right.
So I like the over-under, 59. Pitt can actually score. I mean, they put up 42 against Penn State. Penn State's got a solid D, definitely better than Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma State can definitely score. I think that line's a little bit low, in my opinion.
Agree. And I also kind of like Pitt, too. They're just a really tough team. They can give the ball to Connor. He's being a beast. It's a great story. Ride Pitt. They're pretty hot right now.
Yeah, I don't think Oklahoma State has the defense to stop Pitt, to stop Connor, especially.
Not for four quarters. But Pitt needs to keep it close early and, you know, weather the storm on the road with that crowd, and then they'll be fine. They establish that running game. They'll be fine.
I like Pitt. I like what I saw against Penn State. I was really impressed. They have a really tough spirit, a good attitude. Good coaching, man. A good hire by them.
About time. Dave Wannstedt is not around.
Dave Wannstedt and the stash. Couldn't get it done.
Todd Graham wasting everybody's time.
Pitt needs to come up with a new like team slogan. You know how sometimes teams will have their like slogan for the year 2015?
Yep.
Like, I know UConn does this every year. I can't remember any specific ones.
Me neither.
But Pitt should come up with one that either references, like, James Conner beating cancer and now beating everything else, or it should be something about like, no stash, no problem. You know, something about the loss of the mustache. Okay. Louisiana Tech at Texas Tech. Mm. Texas Tech, an 11.5-point favorite. Louisiana Tech, I think they can score a little bit. I don't know a ton about them. I think Texas Tech alone might put up 80 points. So I think this is a case where you've got an over-under of 80, and it might be a little low.
Until further notice, you got to bet Texas Tech overs. I mean, Pat Mahomes is slinging it. Cliff's playing fast. They don't play any defense. It's the same old shit. I mean, 80 points sounds like a ton, but, like, would you be shocked if the score was, like, 63-42? No. So I'm going over. I'm definitely going to bet it. I'm not going to make a big bet, but this is just one of those I'm riding it till it doesn't, you know, work. Bet the over. Fuck it.
I think when it's there's potential for one team to get the over on their own, I think you got to do it.
Yeah, agree.
I mean, Texas Tech could win this game like 83-17.
Yeah, they could.
All right, Georgia at Missouri. Georgia barely survives against Nickel State. And then Missouri is showing some signs of life. So is this a possible upset? And what do you think is going on with Georgia?
It could be a possible upset. But if I'm a Missouri fan, I'm pissed that they played a close game against Nickel State. Like, I'd be much more happy if they were up like 10-0 at half, but then cruised to a 38-3 win. But you know the coaches were all over those players all week. And they were like, you almost fucked this up last week to Nickel State. Don't let this sloppy stuff happen again. So Nick Chubb had 16 carries with like 4 minutes to go. Like, what are you doing? Like, you really couldn't give him the ball the first three carries of the game. He couldn't get 10 yards. Like, I would love to go back and look at the play chart and go, why? And just replace it with, like, X plays out right, Nick Chubb off tackle right. And Nick Chubb halfback dive. I mean, that's what you do. Drives me crazy. But that being said, I'm going to go against normal logic and take Georgia.
Georgia's another team, like I mentioned. I don't know if they've shown us what they truly have. They played well against UNC. They definitely didn't show up fully motivated against Nichols. I think that's pretty obvious, but they could have some team flaws, or it could have just totally been a motivational issue. I mean, they could have all been hungover. Really hard to say. I would stay away from this.
I like it.
But if you're Georgia, if you're Kirby Smart, just run. And that's it. They also have a quarterback thing. They finally named a starting quarterback. You just can't win rotating quarterbacks.
No.
Can't do it. It's never worked in the history of mankind, ever.
Nope.
Oh, another Dan P game. Texas A&M at Auburn, -3.5. Auburn is the favorite, over under 54. Dan, I feel like your two of your loves in college football have to play each other. What are you going to do? What do you do from an emotional standpoint, let alone gambling?
I have no.
These are two of your favorite teams.
I have no emotions anymore when it comes to sports. I'm strictly sports betting, and like, I've turned into a cold person because of it. It's the truth. No, as far as this game,
you're just an empty shell of a man.
Yeah, I'm just like all business, except when it comes to the New England Patriots. I do not bet on them. They're the only exception. I'll even wager on Ohio State and lose. But anyway, for this game here, it's really interesting, and it comes down to this for me, is that A&M is undefeated, right? And Auburn has one loss. It would make sense for each team to have one loss at this point in the season rather than A&M be undefeated and Auburn with two losses. So I think Auburn has more motivation. I think A&M has a game to blow. I think Josh Rosen played horrible in that first game, and I'm going to take Auburn.
Ooh, I'm going to disagree with you strongly for the first time this week. I like A&M. I think they're good this year. I don't think Auburn's good. I think they're a mediocre football team. And I take A&M, money line, straight up win.
Okay.
I would also, I guess, lean the over. I mean, I just say over for every game, it feels like, except for UConn, but I really do feel like teams score so much these days that if your over-under is under 60, it's just a given, take the over. I mean, depends on the teams, obviously, but with these high-powered
It's
teams.
college football. We're having fun. Unders in college football are not fun. Simple as that.
So, A&M money line over parlay.
Boom.
Actually, I'm not a fan of parlays, as we've talked about many times. I don't do them. I do straight up bets, so I'll do two individual bets of equal money, A&M and the over.
There you go.
All right, another Dan P question. Mississippi State at LSU. We've talked ad nauseum about LSU and Les Miles. They did play a new quarterback who looked like at least he was alive, unlike Brandon Harris.
Yes.
One thing I want to mention, and then you can assess the game. We talked a while back about you have a thing called the Shang Tsung theory,
Yes.
having to do with Nick Saban of Alabama.
It's true.
Now, I was watching ESPNU or one of those, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been like Danny Cannell or one of those guys. And they mentioned that they thought Les Miles' career really was crushed. The turning point of his career was the Alabama National Championship game, the one where they were just completely shut down and lost, I think, 21-0. And then he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said that the soul of the team, the soul of Les Miles was sort of taken away that game. And Dan, I'd like you to explain your Shang Tsung theory and then tell Danny Cannell or whoever to stop stealing your shit.
Yeah, okay. That is horseshit because we were on this years ago. It's when Nick Saban faces a coach, and doesn't have to be the first time he plays him, but it's when that coach knows that his team can never beat him, like in a big spot. Like it might happen in the regular season or blah, blah, blah. But that national title game, Nick Saban looked over the sideline and said, "Your soul is mine. You will not beat me in a big spot. I know everything that you're thinking, and I'm one step ahead of you always." And certain coaches can do that, and not always, or not obviously, not all coaches, but for not their whole coaching career. But Nick Saban's in that absolute peak where he literally took Les Miles' soul, and he hasn't been the same since. The whole program's been messed up since that game.
I mean, that is the Shang Tsung theory, is it was based around Nick Saban. Now, I know other people can do it, but do you think, okay, I'm going to stop there because Dan's got
Oh
something to say.
no. Sorry, I was trying to motion UT to you. Yeah, University of Texas.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing a Wu-Tang
Well,
sign.
yeah, I naturally make a Wu-Tang. It's a lazy wrist thing. But
Butch Jones is for the children,
yeah, well,
Dan.
duh. University of Texas. Colt McCoy getting hit and his shoulder getting separated. Texas has not been same since that game. Not even close. Same thing.
I thought you were talking about Tennessee when you said UT.
No, fuck them. They're garbage.
Yeah, you're right. Their soul was taken long ago when Phil Fulmer left. That's a different theory I have. The Phil Fulmer theory, when you have a coach who you think is mediocre, but it turns out that was the best you're going to do for a long time.
Mac Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Although we'll see. Anyway, I just want to give you a shout out because you had that theory probably in one of our first episodes.
Yeah.
Do you think that Clay Helton might be the latest victim of the Shang Tsung curse?
No, because I don't think that Nick's interested in his abilities and it doesn't get under his skin. He doesn't really care. He considers him a waste of time. But we really messed up week one and should have bet every cent we had on Alabama because we totally forgot that Lane Kiffin had an entire offseason to plan an offense to fuck over the team that fired him on a tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona. Think about that. Lane Kiffin wanted to win that game more than anybody else. So then they blow him out. And to really turn the knife, Saban's like, "Hey, we're going to hire Steve Sarkisian," which is like the funniest shit ever that actually
As a
happened.
consultant.
It's unbelievable. So USA really is like, God, we aren't even close to Alabama. That's Alabama punishing USC for being good in like 2005. They're like, "We didn't forget that you were really good back then. We just want to show you that those days are long over. Don't get any hopes up. We run this shit. Everybody knows it."
Nick Saban He's made some interesting moves. Yes, we talked about Lane Kiffin many times in the last few years, so I figure we can give him a break. Once he did that, he called an amazing national championship game, and I thought at that moment, I will no longer mock Lane Kiffin for his failed USC past. Sarkisian, on the other hand, I feel like he's still fair game. What's he consulting on specifically down there?
Video. He's a videotape guy. He's not allowed to be around, like, the players. And, like, they're no, I'm serious.
For their safety or for his?
Both. There's, like, no, I'm not lying. There's some outliers in that deal, but he basically is a video guy. This is the same guy who was allegedly completely wasted while coaching their game at Arizona State last year, which they won 49-0. Just think how amazing this guy really is, a football mind. Just, it's major college football on the road in the Pac-12, and you won by 7 touchdowns, completely housed. Good for you.
Got to give him credit. No, I didn't know he was a video consultant, just so people get an idea of what a crucial job that is and why you need a former head coach and someone of Sarkisian stature to be your video consultant. Our friend Kevin was a lacrosse coach at UMass, and he would do the videos, and I went in and helped him one time. So this is such an important job that me, with no experience and no training, can go in and help a major college do it.
Pretty much, yes.
I was also drunk at the time.
As a Sarkisian.
Let's move along. There's a lot of stuff happening out west, and since I have a baby now, I don't stay up late enough to even watch the start of these games. Sometimes I can wake up early enough to catch the ending of like an Arizona game at 5 a.m., but I'm going to throw all of these games to you. You can go as short or as long as you want. Texas -8.5 at Cal.
Cal has zero defense. They got a Texas Tech quarterback. Texas can score points. They're speeding up the pace. Bet the over.
Oklahoma coming up next week. That's the only thing I would warn people of.
Good point.
I think, right? Is that that's the Red River River rivalry, yep, that I can't pronounce.
That's the one.
I think that's next week. So careful.
Yep.
Utah -13 at San Jose State. Utah defensive end Kylie Fitz out for the season with an injury. Starting running back Joe Williams just announced today that he was retiring from the game. I love it when college guys retire. It reminds me of the Chappelle Show sketch where Dylon retired from rapping. Or wait, no, that was the parody. Sorry. I'm thinking of the Puff Daddy reality show where the guy retired from rapping before his first album came out.
So good.
So anyway, people will see that and they'll think, well, let me take the points with San Jose State. But I did some research. San Jose State is no good. I understand if you don't want to lay points with Utah, but I would urge people not to take San Jose State in that spot. I'll spare you the details. Just take my word for it. Don't bet on San Jose State. Either lay it or stay away.
There you go.
I said this was out west, and I was going to give it to you, but for some reason, I decided to look that one game up, Utah at San Jose State.
Do what you got to do, Z.
I have no thoughts on like UCLA or USC, but I know shitload about San Jose State.
Every game is worth the same when it comes to betting. You can bet $1 or $1 million on all of them.
That's true. All right, let's do the two big games out west, and then we'll get to the Arizona team. So first, UCLA -3 at BYU.
Mm-hmm.
BYU's got a hell of a schedule this year.
They do. This is a huge game for UCLA's season. I think they get the job done.
All right, and then the Trojans go up to Palo Alto. They take on Stanford. Stanford is a 9-point favorite. Neither of these teams has really impressed this year. Stanford has played only one game, so there's not a huge sample size.
Mm-hmm. You know, USC hasn't looked great, and Stanford's got Christian McCaffrey, and this line's moving up. And, you know, when something like that happens, it's really easy to look at it and think that it's going to be a favorite, but then other times, you know, it could be other stuff. Wait, what's happening here?
I spent the first 10 minutes of this podcast praising you for your expert insight.
I'm trying to play the Trap of the Week music. It's not letting me play 2 Chainz over here. That's the problem. What is this?
D- Do you want me to bring something up on the Spotify Take the Points playlist?
Yeah, play Kanye West, Mercy, featuring Big Sean, Pusha T, and 2 Chainz, please. This is unbelievable. You know what? I'm really sorry.
You filibuster.
I don't understand. You know what? The girlfriend was on this computer. She's screwing around? What's going on here? Trap of the week, folks. Now we're talking.
All right, I'm going to stop it there because that's a big name artist. Usually we do slightly lesser known artists, and I don't want to get pulled and or sued. So
don't worry about Kanye. I'm sure if you call me, I can smooth it out.
Kanye did get rid of his phone today, so he had more time to work on his creative process. So maybe he'll never know.
So weird.
Although he definitely regularly listens to this podcast, I'm sure.
Of course. He's
going to be the guest in week 7, Kanye West.
I would love it. And he can bring Kim on, too. I got some questions for her. Moving on.
Like, are you going to die?
Like, who's getting murdered first? I want to see the contract that you all signed when you were 10. Anyway,
Hashtag Kardashian sacrifice.
Hashtag it's coming. Hashtag.
All right, the game.
Moving on to this game. I don't think Stanford's offense is any good. I know McCaffrey's a beast, and I think in certain situations he can take games over. But USC will have enough raw talent to at least tackle him a little bit, I think. And I don't think they have the quarterback play that's any good at all. Kansas State hung around. They've been kind of slopping. I'll take the 8.5 points with USC, and it's the trap of the week. So there you go.
All right, let's move along to the what I've named the three games of the week. Although it really could have been any three, these I guess are more of the big name school versus big name school, and highly ranked. It's really a judgment call. So here you go, games of the week: Michigan State at Notre Dame. Notre Dame a 7.5 point favorite. Michigan State ranked higher than Notre Dame, but a lot of people think that the line is too low, that Notre Dame really should be favored by, you know, double digits.
Yep.
What do you have to say?
Yeah, it makes sense. This game is Notre Dame's whole season. They have to win to get back on track for a possible national title berth. So look for them to really have some motivation. I know it looks like it's too good to be true, and it probably is, so I lean Notre Dame, but I don't love it.
You know, I don't have another song to play, but I'm going to name this the Tom Z Trap of the Week.
Oh, wow.
I like Michigan State with the points.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think Notre Dame gets the win, but this is an always in tight matchup. Michigan State doesn't have the team they did last year, but they've got the run game. They've got the defense. People think that Michigan State, because they lost Connor Cook, is just sort of done and can be written off, but they've done a great job developing a program over the last 8 to 10 years, and I think they hang. Now, the one thing that will kill them is if their quarterback throws a bunch of interceptions, or if they end up with like a plus 2 or 3 turnover differential. I think that's where they really kill themselves. If they can just play conservatively, grind it out, keep Notre Dame low scoring, I think they could keep it within a touchdown. I think that's a reasonable thing to assume. So, trap.
Okay, we'll find out.
It's rare you have to pick the 13th-ranked team over the 18th-ranked team as a trap.
Yep.
But that's how it goes. All right, Ohio State, -1.5 at Oklahoma, over-under 64. Tough, tough call. Both teams who people thought might have a chance at the playoff. Obviously, Oklahoma really needs this if they're going to continue to have a shot at that.
Yep.
And Ohio State, I guess, could afford one loss and still make it in. So maybe Oklahoma has the motivation, but I like Ohio State. I think they're a better team.
Everything you said is exactly spot on. Oklahoma needs the win. They have all the motivation. They got experienced quarterback. They got experienced coach. They're playing at home. They have weapons, blah, 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 blah. Ohio State is just too good. JT Barrett's in his zone. Meyer's pissed off because they didn't win it all last year. It's obvious. This is my lock of the week, folks. Ohio State, -1. Ugh, lock it up. Which is 2-0, by the way, so let's make it 3-0.
Yeah, your trap and your lock, I think, are both undefeated on the season, so maybe you can get 3-0 with both of them.
Thank you very much.
Doing well. Remember last year you used to pick 4 team teasers, and I don't think you won any of them, and then you decided it might be easier to just pick one game?
Yep, a lot easier.
Doing well. All right, Dan, another big Dan Partridge game, two of your favorites.
Yeah.
Alabama at Ole Miss. It's an 11-point line in favor of Alabama. Hey, Dan, who won the last 2 years with these teams? I can't remember, and no one on the media has brought it up at all. Do you remember?
Yeah, Ole Miss. No one gives them any credit for beating Alabama. Somehow they know how to play them, and I know – I'm sure Nick Saban is trying his best not to lose 3 in a row, but they have the quarterback to upset them. They have the home field. They're getting more than 10 points. I know there's a rule. You bet Alabama or you stay away. But if you're sitting around Saturday night, I don't know. You might want to throw a couple bucks in Ole Miss.
Ooh, very impressive. I had some music queued up, but I lost it on account of our new trap song. Anyway, the song I was going to play is Won't Get Fooled Again. Ole Miss has won 2 in a row. They might not win, but there's no way I'm going against them. And they're at home this time. And they've got Chad Kelly, future Super Bowl winner for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
So I guess I have to, per rule number one of Take the Points podcast, I should stay away when I don't believe that Alabama will cover the rules to stay away. But at gunpoint, which is a possibility with these two teams, you might actually be at gunpoint. I think you got to go with Ole Miss.
And again,
the other option is the over of 54.5.
Who knows? It's so weird.
Tough one.
But I'm looking forward to next week's podcast where we get to talk about how we're idiots and why do we continue to bet against Alabama in big spots.
Like I said, it's going to be hard for me to pull that trigger and actually bet against them. But I'm not laying 11 points on the road.
No.
Against the one team that's had their number the last 2 years. No way.
Nope, me neither.
All right. That is all. Oh, wait. That's not all of the games. We want to go back to Thursday. I kept this one till the end because a lot of people text me that they listen on like Friday or Saturday morning or whatever. And there's nothing I hate more than when somebody first listens to it. And they text me, they're like, good podcast. By the way, you totally fucked up that Thursday night game.
Yeah, good point.
So I want to bury this one at the end so that nobody can call me out on it until at least they've, listened to an hour's worth of show.
Okay, good point. I think we should do that from now on.
Houston is a 8.5-point favorite. They got to travel to Cincinnati. They have an injured quarterback. Not injured, out, but banged up. And Cincy, pretty good. Seems like a possible trap.
It is. There was a big write-up on this today that I read. It's a humongous game. It has all the makings of a trap. It does. This is not going to be an easy game for Houston. I'm completely staying away from it. I'm actually just going to watch the Bills-Jets on Thursday and just check in on this one and have some fun. But it's a really tough spot for sure.
I'm going to throw this out there. It's not a prediction. It's just a possibility. I wouldn't be shocked if Cincy wins this one outright.
Okay. Wow, me neither.
I still don't think Houston runs the table. I think they do lose one game at least, possibly two, probably just one. And I don't have them in the playoff, even after the big win at Oklahoma. And I think there really are only a few spots where they could lose. Cincy's one of them. Obviously, Louisville's one. And then, of course, the mighty UConn.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, watch out for the Husk. But, if you're a Houston fan, this is a big weekend. If you can win on Thursday and Oklahoma can beat Ohio State, you can pretty much start looking at hotel rooms.
That's true. I don't want to write off Houston. I'm just saying they need to prove it. If they come out and win decisively in this game, then I'm 100% on board with them as a playoff caliber team.
Agree, yeah.
All right, Dan, that's the end of the games. There is one order of business, of course. Time for a fantasy football name.
There is, Tom. Well, this is really tough. As I get older, my names become more politically correct. I was trying to do a play on words with like Sandusky for a while, but I thought, you know, that may maybe cross the line a little bit.
I was going to say it should not be. I was going to throw out rules and say like nothing racist or nothing that could like get me fired from my job,
Cotton Eye Tom.
but instead, I'm leaving it up to you, and we'll see.
Okay, I'm actually going to keep it pretty simple. You said earlier, give everyone a taste of something. Well, Tom, your last name is Z, as everyone knows. You've always really embraced Z and the letter Z. Even your first car was a Topaz, which ended in a Z, which is rare. I think it might be one of the few cars that has a Z in it. So, in honor of Crystal Pepsi, we're going to go with another crystal drink from the 90s and go with Zima. So, if anyone's old like we are and remember the slogan for Zima, it was Zumthing Zifferent, which will be Tom's fantasy football team name for at least this week. So, Tom, please change it to Zumthing Zifferent, and everyone will
And
know.
that is with two Z's, no other weird spelling I need to
Nope,
know
you're
about.
good. Two Z's, so everyone knows it's still your team name. And they also know that you're referencing Zima at the same time. That's what I'm going for here.
Are they gonna pick up on the Zima reference? I mean, I guess if they listen to this, they will.
I think they should. I think everyone in our league is roughly our age. They all were teenagers and saw our parents get drunk on Zima at least once. So we know something's different.
So I want to tell you a brief story, Zima related. I remember I had, well. Now, looking back on my street, there were kids of all different ages. But when I was growing up, there were a handful, maybe four or five kids, probably a little bit older than me. Like when I was in middle school, they were in high school, probably about 4 years older.
Okay.
And like any, middle school kid who's looking up to and seeing high school kids, I think, these guys are cool. These guys are badass. And what made them badass? They listened to Bon Jovi and they drank Zima.
Yep.
And as a like eighth or ninth grader, seeing them at like 18 years old drinking those Zimas, I thought these dudes are the coolest dudes. And they also listened to like Z89,
Oh,
like
yeah.
Boys to Men, the R&B station of
All the hits.
Syracuse.
All the hits. Brian McKnight, a lot of hits.
And then, of course, not a dispersion on these guys, but when I grow up, even when I got to be like 18, I'm like, huh, Zima kind of sucks, and so does Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're equally awful. Although Bon Jovi's slightly worse. At least Zima gets you drunk. Bon Jovi just makes you feel horrible.
So you're not a cowboy, Dan?
I have never rode on a steel horse.
I'll give Bon Jovi credit for one of my favorite lyrics of all time, the I've seen a thousand or I've seen a million faces and I've rocked them all. It's pretty
Doesn't
good.
make sense. I love it.
That is up there with my favorite lyric of all time, Sammy Hagar. Only time will tell if we stand the test of time.
It doesn't make sense. Literally.
It makes perfect sense. It's 100% true, Dan. What will tell if you stand the test of time? It's time.
Pretty much Van Hagar. Unbelievable.
Anything else you want to add, Dan? I got like 3 more minutes before I have to go put my kid to sleep.
Okay, I'll tell you about my little trip to Target today. So I wanted to get a new webcam for recording Take the Points because I've been doing it on my phone and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's better on the PC. So I go in, I see a nice kid in the electronics section of Target, and I said, hey, man, can you help me find a webcam? And he said, sure, no problem. He said, what are you looking for? And I said, I'm looking for something that's cheap and something that'll make my schlong look as big as possible. And, you know, he was really helpful and said, I know exactly what you mean. And he pointed me out to a good one, $30, no problem. But what I really wanted to address was my checking out experience with an old lady in front of me. Technology is just too hard. The people who make a lot of these changes in our life don't comprehend that a huge percentage of our population can't handle this. Get rid of the chip on all credit debit cards, people. These people don't know how it works. She stuck a card that had no chip in the chip reader, then used a different card, put it in the chip reader to pay half the bill, then got another card that had a chip to pay the other half of the bill, then said, oh, wait, I have a coupon, and they voided out the payment, you processed the coupon, and then she put it all back on the non-chipped card. This went down with us, and this is why the podcast got delayed today, because I had to go to Target for that. So just want to tell you about my little trip, my little rant on old people using technology, and I want to thank LogTech because everything's looking good.
I am in the technology business, my day job, and it's tough. I just celebrated 10 years of working in web after having, you know, various other mercenary careers before that. And you forget sometimes that not every single person knows like HTML and CSS and PHP.
No.
And, there are a lot of people out there who still use Internet Explorer, many of them using version 7 of Internet Explorer, or a few even use version 6, which is, for us web guys, the worst thing ever made on the internet.
Wow.
So that's a little website pro tip for all of you. Internet Explorer 6 is known as the, they're like the New Mexico of, of browsers. They are to browsers what New Mexico is to college football.
Yep.
No good.
That sounds about right. But it's completely true. I used to work for a company, I won't say the name of them, but this was only a year or two ago, and they used Windows not 10, not XP, not Vista, Windows 6. Six, man. And then we had to do the upgrade to 10, and everyone's like, whoa, what is this? But like a major company. I mean, so that shows you it's still everywhere. So
those of us who build websites or are involved in building websites, you know, manage the building of websites like me, we get frustrated because we want to build like the newest, coolest thing, but the newest, coolest thing doesn't work on those old browsers and operating systems. And it's always like, damn it, people. Why are you like 7% of internet users always holding us back?
Exactly.
Once in a while, if you get a really cool like web designer you're working with, they're just like, fuck those people. They just can't use our site.
Yep, simple as that.
But if you work for like a more bigger conservative site, if you work for like the Hartford Insurance, they're like, we have to make it work for everyone. If you work for like a cool site, they're just like, Internet Explorer 7 and 6 users, fuck them.
Yep.
So that's how you know how cool the site is, by how many people they exclude.
Good point. Good to know.
It's a little insider tip.
Web insider, Tom Z.
That's right. Just like ESPN Insider, I should charge like $12 a month for that kind of insight and then have nobody buy it and then go out of business.
ESPN Insider probably was the stupidest thing ever. I mean, really,
how many people subscribe to that? Like 14?
Yeah, and everyone, and 8.5 million people had the same password. Come on, you guys run a website, you guys have all this revenue, commercials, NBA, football, all the sports on there, and you're really going to hit us for money per month to hear opinion articles and rankings from these asshats who you employ? Unbelievable.
I totally agree. By the way, takethepoints.net, hit us up on Venmo, give us a donation, PayPal tip.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. The show is 100% free and always will be until we sell out to ESPN.
Yes. Which I will.
I would in a heartbeat. ESPN, Danny Cannell, give me a call. We can talk about conspiracy theories.
Yep.
And how that kids are too politically correct and soft. And then you can give us a multi-million-dollar deal.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. The podcast is on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. The website is takethepoints.net. Twitter, I'm the fake Tom Z. Dan is dpartridge10. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, come and interact with us. I didn't hear anything about our potential advertising sources. So if you have a funny slogan for our show or a stupid place you want us to advertise, for example, the Syracuse New Times paper,
yes,
then let me know. And I'm willing to throw down like $50 to make that happen.
Absolutely. Me too. I will match anything you put in.
Matching donations.
Matching donations.
And then the other thing you could do is, share this with somebody. We see our numbers going up slowly. I would love it if this is the year where more people listen to our show. Because I got a kid now. I don't got time for this bullshit unless people are actually listening.
I got time. Don't worry, it'll be me talking to myself going, "Hey, Dan. Yeah, Dan. It's going to be really bad."
But yeah, share it with somebody if you like it. If you hate it, then tweet us to go die in a fire, and then don't share with anybody. And then the last thing, he doesn't know it yet, but our friend George Villali is going to be our guest next week.
Oh.
He's going to talk about legal issues, and he's going to help us break down the Florida-Tennessee game. So
fantastic.
He doesn't know it. I'm going to text him tomorrow and let him know. Or maybe I'll just wait and let him hear it on this.
Okay, even better.
But he'll be the start of a season where I think we'll bring in some guests from time to time.
I'm on board with that.
All right. Anything to add, Dan?
No, man. I think I'm good. Enjoy the great slate of games. Have fun. Get yourself a proper webcam for all your online things. And have a great weekend. You were right. Technology's not good enough. It did not go through on the Skype desktop, but...
Never do an update, like, right before you have to... If you have, like, a time crunch. Yeah. It's the worst.
I know. No, I don't want to make Bing my homepage update. Nobody does. Take the point.